Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel reading for today is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 31, and can be found on page. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel that you've already heard. The readings here, this is the third last Sunday of the church year. There are different names for it, but that's the way we've traditionally counted them down. We're almost to that last Sunday. The last Sunday of the church year is going to fall after Thanksgiving this year. It does that every 4 or 5 years is the way that falls. Normally, we go straight from Thanksgiving into the next Sunday being the first Sunday of Advent. So we have our midweek services just go back to back to back. This year we'll have a week break in between the two. I guess we could just go ahead and meet on Wednesday night if you feel like coming up, but we don't have a normal church schedule there. The third last Sunday, the second last Sunday, the last Sunday, which is also called the Sunday of Fulfillment or Christ the King Sunday, all of the readings in those Sundays tend to talk about the end times, because being at the end of the church year, the liturgical year, the focus is on recognizing that with the coming of Christ, which is what Advent is about, the coming, that we're nearing the end days. We're in the end days. We don't know when the end day will be. It could be today. We have no idea when the last day is that Jesus will come. And so the readings of the end of the year, counting down, if you will, are similar to the readings at the beginning of the year, also talking about those end times, because with Christ's coming, again, will be the end time. When? Jesus said he's coming soon. All we can do is continue to seek to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts, to live for him today. He might not come in the span of our lifetime, but we can live every day faithfully as possible for him by the power of the Holy Spirit. He may come in our lifetime. If he does, we pray that he would find us faithful when he does return. Seeking out wisdom is really what these readings are about, the wisdom of God and understanding our place in that. We're almost to Thanksgiving. And with that, what are you thankful for? Have you got a list of things that you're thankful for? I know some people do that on social media every year. They take a daily thing and note what they're thankful for. And then usually that falls apart about the middle of the second week because people get busy and don't think about doing that, and then they get caught up maybe again later on. But some people hold through that. That's kind of neat. But that's too long a commitment for me on making sure I get that done every day, I think. So I haven't done that myself. But I do have things that I'm thankful for. I hope you have things in your head and your heart that you're thankful for, if not a formal list. But with that in mind, I also would hope and pray that that's something that grows, that list expands, if not daily, very frequently, because of the things that we have around us that we can be thankful for, and the people we have around us that we should be thankful for, and the ways that God continues to take care of us that we should always be thankful for. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked her kids to make a list of the things that they're thankful for. And one little boy put on his list, at the top of his list, glasses. And the teacher thought that was really mature for a small child to be thankful for glasses, recognizing that he needs them to be able to see and function well. I got my glasses when I was 15. I was finally able to move from the front of the class to the back of the class because I could see the board then, all the way from back there. It was really cool. My grades dropped a little bit. I don't think that's the way it was supposed to go, but you know, you have to behave when you're in those front rows, right? I know teachers around here are thinking, yeah, we need all front rows in our classrooms, but we have this boy, and he says he's thankful for glasses, and that is a really mature thing to recognize, to be thankful for something that not everybody wants. And so the teacher went over and praised him and said, Johnny, I'm so proud of you to note that you're thankful for your glasses, and you put that at the top of the list. Can you tell me, are there any special reasons why you say that you're thankful for your glasses? And Johnny answered, yes, ma'am. He said, the glasses keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me. Johnny, that's going to change. At least one half of that, hopefully. We think, what are we thankful for? Hopefully we're thankful for more than just glasses for those of us that wear them. And I hope that you do have a list that continues to grow. But there are a lot of things in this world perhaps that we're not thankful for as well. There are some things that happen and some things that are in this world around us that are downright rotten. And we're not glad to have them around us, glad to deal with them, and we're ready to see them go. Certainly our text reminds us, as it talks about these end days, recognizing what is going to take place, we know that the bad of this earth is going to pass away, and what is coming is better than anything that we have yet to behold. Things change. Times change and perspectives change. Even our knowledge and learning of the things that we have learned changes. I think of something as simple as eggs. I have watched eggs go on the good list and on the bad list for cholesterol up and down about 3 different times in just my life alone. Now, whether you personally like them or not is not the issue. But are they healthy or not? And yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. I'm not sure where that list falls right now on whether they're good or bad, but I'm glad for them. And you know what? If they're bad, well, good news. That will pass away, just like everything else. Consider political elections. Look at the way things went this year, and half the country is happy, half the country is not. We've got questions about the Electoral College on whether that's something that has played itself out or needs to continue on or should be cast out. We've dealt with in years past how many people that were deceased that voted in Chicago. And that happens on a regular basis. Still today they deal with that. We've dealt with questions about, and will anyone ever forget the term hanging Chad? So many of these things. I'm just glad that soon all of that's going to pass away too. All of that's going to pass away. The good and the bad. And we need to be aware that actually all of this is going to pass away too. In the year 2000 is when I first heard the prediction. And I marked it down because I was counting down to when I was going to collect Social Security. And I was thinking, how far have I gotten? Will this happen? In the year 2000, I heard that in the year 2030, there is going to be a comet that is going to hit the Earth. An asteroid, a huge one that could send us back into an ice age, they say. I looked up the news this past week to see if anything was still being talked about. Interesting that in 2004 and in 2012, And then even this year, there were some articles as if this was a new discovery, that this, they've just discovered that this asteroid is going to hit the Earth. And now it could be anywhere from April to 2029 to 2030. And then there's others that say there's a 1 in 500 chance that it's going to happen. And others say it's going to pass, but it'll pass 35,000 miles away from us, which actually could still cause some problems for us. If it comes near us at all, if it exists at all by that time, who knows? But I can guarantee you that as we get closer to that time, if there is still any kind of idea that there's an asteroid that's going to be within a million miles of the Earth, that we're going to have doomsday prophet after doomsday prophet out there. And they're going to start talking about things such as the recognition that, oh, but we're approximately 2,000 years from the death of Jesus in 2030. Because that would have been about the right time. They're going to talk about how these are the end times. And they're going to focus on the idea that you know, it's all going to pass. We're all going to die and we need to change our ways. And who knows, we've got all kinds of these doomsday prophets that have come and gone over the years as well, what that's going to be like. But I can tell you, they're going to show up. Fortunately, I can also guarantee you, this too will pass. Well, either they will or the Earth will or both. I don't know. But one or the other is going to take place. We're going to be fine either way. The broken relationships in our lives, the loss of loved ones, the hurt that we experience in grief over physical bodies that are failing, either for ourselves or for those we care about, the missed opportunities in life, the job promotion that we didn't get, the job offer that we wanted that fell short, the pains in the muscles, the brain that doesn't work like it used to be and isn't quite as sharp as it used to be, all of these things too shall pass. And we'll be glad when those pass. But there's also the joys of life, the pleasures of life, the words and the wonders that come to us all of the time that lift us up and encourage us, the happiness of friendship, the fulfillment of accomplishments, the things that give us joy, those too are going to pass. All of it, good and bad, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but one thing will remain, and we're told, and that is the Word of God. God's Word will remain. And we're glad, I pray, we're glad that that is, above all else, what we can hold on to and know that as that remains, so will our spirits with God. NASA. The agency officials in the Kennedy Space Station, they were talking about putting a man on Mars. And in that idea of putting a man on Mars, they also have to talk about getting a man home from Mars. Well, now they've changed it. It's not putting a man on Mars. Now it's putting a person on Mars, because the appropriate way of understanding things nowadays, there are just as many female astronauts as there are male astronauts in this day and age, and a very good thing that there are. But the idea of putting someone on Mars and bringing them back, when the experts were confronted with this and asked, how will you bring this person back from Mars? And their response was, it involves a highly complex formula. This is what the agent representing NASA said. It involves a highly complex formula. And it begins with the words, our Father who art in heaven. Wise person. In the beginning there was only God. And in the end, for Christians, there will be only God. There's a bumper sticker that I read one time that said, the rat race is over, the rats won. You know, we can let the rats have what's left of the earth. We're going to go on to something better. We're going to follow the one who won. And that's truly God, not the rats. They get the refuge. We get the glory. We get the heaven. We get the eternity. And hopefully, we don't allow ourselves to be caught up in the rule of the rats instead of in the deeper relationship with God. Hopefully, we don't get caught up in the ways of the world instead of the right relationship of living in a life alongside of and under and following in the ways of a Lord and God that loves us so. There was a prisoner that had died of a heart attack in Montgomery, Alabama, in jail many years ago that I read the story about. And I want to just share the brevity of this story, but the impact of it, hopefully it'll have the impact on you that it had on me in understanding. The article said that while in prison, this prisoner, didn't give a name, had a profound conversion experience and entered into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, which we've heard before. People are witnessed to in jails all the time, and yay God that they are. It doesn't take away the punishment that they face, but we know that at least that they've come to a faith life, and that's a blessing. So they entered into this faith relationship with Christ, and then the convict in the next cell was a cynic for this person. Each night, one prisoner spoke through the bars to the other and told him about the love of Jesus. The other mocked him, and he said he was sick in the head, that religion was the last refuge of the insane. Nonetheless, the fellow continued to pass him scripture passages and share his candy. And the other, each time he received a package from a relative, would then start doing the same with him and begin to listen to him over time. At the funeral of the man that had converted to Christianity, when the prison chaplain was speaking in the midst of his sermon, the other prisoner stood up. And the man who had previously mocked this fellow for his faith pointed to the coffin and said, "That's the only Jesus I ever knew." How do you reveal God to others? What is the true worth that will remain from you after you pass away? Are you a spiritual couch potato? A couch Christian, as I've used the term throughout all my days. Are you working on the things in life that will pass away just like you, trifling on the things that follow after our will? Or as our text reminds us, as our text leads us, saying that we should be after those things of Jesus? Are we building others up in matters that matter most, in Christianity and in faith? Are we seeing to it that there is something that remains after us, and that's a witness, a faithfulness, and a memory of Christ for the lives and for the sake of others? Well, Galapagos Islands, there are a lot of birds. Amazing, amazing place to see. I have never been there in person, but the pictures and the programs. There are two birds in particular that I noted that were really unique, though, of all the birds in a recent show that I saw again. One is called a cormorant. We've got those all over, but this is a Galapagos cormorant. It's very unique. It's lost the ability to fly. Because there are no predators there for it, it doesn't need to fly anymore. And so it walks. It's got wings. It's got feathers, not kind of much of feathers on the wings, but it just walks wherever it goes. It doesn't need to fly. It doesn't have to worry about that. So the failure to use the wings has resulted in a loss of the wings. There's another bird on that island, and it's a woodpecker finch. The woodpecker finch has developed the ability to use tools, and it digs with twigs insects out of holes in rock crevices. And it matches the size of the twig needed for the size of the hole that it's digging in. That's pretty amazing. And when I saw that, I was thinking, Christians are kind of like one bird or the other there. We either have have kind of fallen into the life of the cormorant and lost the ability to reach the higher spiritual realm because we've just gotten comfortable in our surroundings and we don't see the need to soar and to fly anymore. Or perhaps, like the woodpecker finch, we've recognized that we have the opportunity to learn and to grow with the tools that we have and to continue to become more than what we are, to go farther than anyone else in the world would have ever thought that we could go, perhaps. Are we spiritual bodybuilding? Are we into reading the Word, studying the Word, living the Word, adapting ourselves to the different situations with the Word, using this Word as needed and applicable in all of life's situations? Or are we more like the Galapagos cormorant and have just kind of lost the ability or the desire to soar any higher? Christians are kind of like one or the other. We know which we should be like. We need to set aside time with God. We need to pick time and find focus in our hearts and in our minds to be with God, to read His Word, to study that Word, to be in devotions every day. We need to allow ourselves to let that Word flow through us and in us. We need to recognize that everything on earth will pass away, but the Word of God remains. And so do we hold on to that Word as being what is most dear in our lives? Do we read our Bible every day? Do we recognize the power that this Bible possesses for us, the presence of the Lord that this Scripture brings to us, and know that though everything else will pass, our love of God, God's love of us, that relationship with God is going to last into eternity. The time is coming when heaven and earth will pass away. But the words of God will never pass away. So what will you invest your time in? The things of the world, and lowering your expectations and settling in as life is around you? Or will you invest your life in those things that will never pass away, that will last into eternity? Will you invest yourself in God, in a right relationship with Him, living for Him, loving Him, serving Him? One will last forever, and one too will pass away. And the choice is ours. What do we follow? In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.